Comrades, after welcome you all, I want us to observe a moment of silence. Member of Parliament, Comrade Nkondlo, who passed on last night, yesterday morning. May we rise and just observe a minute. Honorable members, department, as we met last week to deliberate on the bill B27B2006, as a committee, we came up with some proposal amendments. And after the meeting, I had to request our parliamentary legal advisor, as is advising the committee on matters of legality, to come up with some proposals that we came up with to amend on that bill. As a result, we are not going to finalize the bill today. After presenting the amendment to the department must go back and insert them in the bill, and we'll be checking whether those amendments are correctly inserted in the bill. And then we'll take it from there. Yeah, in the amendment list. We'll also come up with the amendment list and do the conference clause, checking all those amendments are correct and also inserted in our bill. I'm going to give the amendment, the proposed amendment to the member of the committee. And we're going to get into the discussion. If there are more or less or extra, then we'll take it up with the department. May I also give the members of the committee the proposed amendment on the 50 minutes of that on behalf of the department. Meantime, let me render an apology for Ms. Karebe from Northwest. She had a problem last night with a flight. She'll be arriving this afternoon or this morning. And also, Honorable Meji Madala Magubani. She's one of the monitoring groups that went to Zimbabwe. Those are two apologies, I don't know, from the secretary. The other two are from Honorable Vilagazi, in KZN, and also Honorable Pecheng. He couldn't get a flight last night from Limpopo because this far areas that transiting. Sometimes there are no flights during the holiday and Sunday. So I think we'll continue because we're not going to take any decision in this meeting. I'm not going to request our parliamentary legal advisor as requested by the committee, by the chair, to take us through those amendments. Can we start on the page 2? So that we get the background of our proposed amendment.
Okay. Jane, in essence, I was asked to look at the legal opinions and synthesize them so that we can, because certain provisions have consistently been suggested to be unconstitutional. So I was requested to ask to look at these clauses and to get possible amendments that would make them constitutional while not sacrificing the objects of the bill, which is namely to protect children from exposure to disturbing and harmful materials, protect children from premature exposure to adult experiences, and youth in an exposure to pornography. Now, in essence, what I'm going to suggest is there's not going to be a change in the policy or anything. It's just that the words of the bill don't meet the intention in some respects, and they're a bit overbroad. The first issue is in section 16.2, where only members of the Newspaper Association of South Africa are exempted. Now, this was inserted by the National Assembly, and the rationale for excluding members of NASA alone was that it was thought that only NASA members were regulated through the Press Ombudsman. It was subsequently established that all members of the print media South Africa were regulated by the Press Ombudsman, and this includes members of NASA, members of the Magazine Publishers of South Africa, as well as the Association of Independent Publishers. Now, if you're going to exclude only NASA members from Section 16.2, the pre-classification issue that's been raised, it's going to be deemed to be arbitrary, and hence it will be unconstitutional. It's therefore suggested that the exemption in 16.2 be expanded to include all members of print media South Africa. Okay, I think we should go through issue by issue instead of the whole thing.
Members, do you have any comments? Honorable Solo?
Chair, I just want to clarify myself. I'm sure, and I will all imagine that you see, because last night I was asking that this is self-regulated, or the word, a regulatory mechanism. Whether that regulatory mechanism is indeed the ombudsman, or is there any other regulatory mechanism that NASA subscribes to, which other papers and the line do not subscribe to? What is the situation?
Thank you. Any other comments, member? Advocate Beta, state law advisor.
I think it's just a point of clarity. I hear the proposal of colleagues. It seems to me that the print media encompasses almost everybody, Chair. So my question, Chair, is who is ultimately going to submit for classification this publication, Chair, if almost everybody is excluded, Chair? Because my worry is that if they are all excluded from submitting for classification, instead of publication, Chair, it seems as if the purpose of the bill, Chair, will be cast aside if everybody is excluded, Chair, from submitting. So my view, Chair, I think the NASA members only that are being excluded from the ambit, Chair, should remain as it is, Chair, because they are self-regulated. And based on our submission and our comments, then.
Thank you,
Honorable. Thanks very much. I don't want to tap us in our whole avoid temptation of making an observation that we actually had a disservice here. Because for the first time when this issue arose, one of the fundamental questions that we raised in the presence of everybody was to ascertain, in precise terms, what does NASA cover and what does it not cover? Is it covering everybody? Is it covering community, newspapers that are printed? Or is it covering mainstream newspapers? I think we asked that question to a person over and over again. It is in that context that we came to the conclusion, by implication, you know, of the advices that we got from our parliamentary services, to say that NASA covers only certain, you know, mainstream newspapers. It may not cover the Goldfield in the Free State, which is a community media. It may not cover the Voice, which is predominantly Bloemfontein. It may not cover, you know. So this, we were advised that the main umbrella body that covers all of this as a regulatory body is the Print Media of South Africa. And here I'm saying, if there's no certainty on this from our officials, then we are in a serious problem. I don't know whether we should proceed or we should hold back on this matter. And if we hold back, how long are we going to run there? Because we want a certainty on this issue. We want a certainty and guidance from the officials. Thank you.
Yeah. Just to add on what Member Fukuna has actually indicated, it's true, and I'm sure we've got officials and CEO from the Film and Publication Board here. They've been part and parcel of our meetings, Jefferson, and we thoroughly checked before we actually even agreed on the print media, Jefferson. So, I don't know what would be the proposal that the president there came to. Maybe we can further be given more advice to really, really verify that all these people who belong under print media are they really regulated. And those that are not a member, it means they are the ones who are actually going to submit for e-print certification. Maybe let's hear from the board, Jefferson, if that information has been verified now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other? None. We had with the Honorable Sutun, I think it was a comment with a follow up from Mema Zivoko and another clarification from Honorable Tolo. Advocate Kweta, you still need more clarity on that one. So let me give the opportunity to the CEO. Are you with us, ma'am?
Thank you, Constance. May I use this
one? Okay. I'm really not sure about print media, South Africa, about who they regulate. I don't have that information.
Thank you. Mukesh?
Chair, I've established that the
president.
Thank you, ma'am. I just have one concern. First of all, even in NASA regulation, the regulations are not consistent with the purpose and objectives of the Act itself. I mean, they don't deal with material to be classified in the way that the Act requires films, for instance, to be classified. Secondly, my concern is that if I am Hustler or Playboy, I just join the print media and I don't have to submit any publications for classification. Thirdly, ma'am, at the moment, magazine publishers are submitting materials for classification. There's been no problems with them. There's been no objections. In fact, the only objection was that once or twice there was a day's delay in turnaround time, but in essence, they have welcomed, even our meeting with the reform movement, they have welcomed the role that the board has played. But as I say, I find it very difficult to accept that every magazine can join the print media, and then there'll be outside regulation insofar as sexual conduct is concerned, which is precisely what will worry me as far as children are concerned.
Before you let me give the Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Chairperson. And I don't think I'm going to help here. When we adjourned our meeting last week, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? My understanding was that there was a meeting which included representatives of the FCB, which upon discussion came to this conclusion. My assumption is that you are dealing here with a proposal that is a consensus between the state law advisors, parliamentary advisors, and the FPP. Now, it appears we're not. So what are we dealing with? Whose idea is this, that print media South Africa can be exempted? Because I'm actually taken aback by even the view that the FPP doesn't know who is covered by the print media South Africa. I would have assumed that when this thing was presented before the committee, that they would have gone to check, they would have consented to this amendment. So what are we dealing with exactly?
Thank you. Advocate Mukesh.
Thank you. Yes, we did meet last week and we looked at the issue. And in fact, the Current and Publications Board suggests that PMSA not be exempt from 16.1 because they contain magazines like FHM, etc., but that they be exempted from 16.2, which means that in terms of 16.1, where there's a complaint, that they still be classified. But in terms of 16.2, that these magazines not pre-submit for classification. I think that's what we did agree on last week. And we also established last week that the Ombudsman covers all members of Print Media South Africa, and hence the exemption would be rational.
Can I think the Films and Publishing Board confirmed what he is saying? That yes, there was this meeting, and yes, this was the argument, that they are exempted in relation to Section 16.1.
And those, no, they remain exempted. They only NAFTA members exempted from 16.1, but all members of the media South Africa are exempted from 16.2.
So there is a
I confirm.
So you both agreed on the proposed amendment. Yeah, so the proposed amendment actually deals exactly with that. Ne? The proposed amendment deals exactly with that. Exactly what they've agreed on. That's what the proposed amendment covered. Are we at what in relation to the proposed amendment that is pending here now?
Yes, sir.
We are agreeing to it.
Yes, sir.
There was a question there. Who is actually supposed to be... Can you come again?
This process is going to make mockery of us here. Two ways and two options. We adjourn this meeting, Chairperson, and we commission independent research outside officials before us here. And we come and deliberate and take decision on these matters. But I don't think it augurs well for us, Chairperson, that the people who are supposed to be an expert team, a source of expertise to us, are the ones who are debating. We are the lawmakers. We should provide definite and final opinion on this matter. So even we have not been assisted in that respect, yeah, for whatever reason, let us say that might have been an omission on our part. And that will be my take, Chairperson. Honorable Tolo, this is my point. State law advisors asking a question to parliamentary legal advisor, filling a publication, you know, parliamentary, you know, what is our role? We honor them. I don't think it augurs well, with due respect. And I'm saying if really we're not ready and we're uncertain about this thing. And I'm beginning to feel very uncertain that we should proceed. And maybe we need to change our gear, honorable members, and say, how are we going to verify this thing? And take a bold position on this matter.
Thank you very much, Tolo.
No, Chair, I'm not really sure. Maybe we need to try to verify. You see, when I asked the question earlier on, I just wanted some confirmation, you know, to say yes, we think this is in order because there's an argument on this matter. So that when we move forward, at least we move with some certainty, you see. Honestly speaking, I did not expect the state law advisor to be asking questions themselves. Because one would have thought that they were part and parcel of the whole process. Now, it turns then, therefore, for me, I suggest that there was no consensus between the state law advisors, the parliamentary advisors, and the Philips and public agents. Looks like there was no consensus. If as Zola put it, the state law advisors still ask questions. I mean, we can ask questions as members of parliament to assure ourselves as to whether things have eventually proceeded properly. But if you yourselves are asking each other questions, I have a problem. I really have a big problem. It looks like if political terms would say they are selling each other, somebody is selling out somewhere. I don't know who. But what's the situation? Well, if it is true that there's no consensus between this or among these three stakeholders, then there's a problem. We don't want to have this bill and say this is what we think, and later on to be told by the state government, in fact, we told you so. We did not agree. This is not our decision. We don't want that.
Thank you, Dr. Tolo. Honorable Dean.
Thanks, Chair. You know, before we entertain the proposal by Honorable Stuna, may I just ask for my clarity? And if I could just be allowed to just pose questions to Mokesh and get responses. The proposal you are tabling here suggests that 16.1, the proposed amendment, which says any person other than a newspaper that is published by a member of NASA, which is to be or is being distributed in the Republic, will be classified in terms of this section. That remains as is.
Yes, sir.
And that the exemption is suggested only in 16.2.
Yes.
That is this exemption which refers to Print Media South Africa. That's the amendment. The amendment with regard to Print Media South Africa applies only to 16.2.
Yes, Chairperson.
Which means that now, if that is the case, if that's the case, then it means that newspapers won't be, which are members of NASA, won't be required to submit for pre-publication classification, but that all members of Print Media South Africa will be exempted to submit in terms of 16.2. And what does it mean?
Thanks, Chair. This was a suggestion from the Films and Publications Board, because I suggested that all members of that the NASA exemption be expanded to include all members of Print Media South Africa. It was pointed out by the Films and Publications Board that some of the publications need to be classified. So if they include it in Section 16.1, it means that they cannot be classified in terms of what the CEO told me. So then I said, fine, it's in 16.2. Some publications need to be pre-classified, where it contains sexual conduct, etc., etc. So that means before it's published, they need to classify it and get it passed and then publish. So they were exempted from that provision only, Deputy Minister.
Dr. Solo, I know you can
So we can all 11 languages. Can you do that?
No, I think I'm better. I think I understand. I understand. You know, I understand it to mean in terms of 16:1 says S E T. You see, where if there's any person who is telling complaint, then lots of people are actually accepting. That's what it means. But when it comes to section 16:2, it means lots of people together with these other people who will not be belonging to us, right? All of them, must actually do what? Submit. Or not submit?
Not submit for pre-classification.
For pre-classification.
The classification and pre-classification are different.
Yeah.
So maybe if the CEO can just take us through that.
Essentially, what it means, Chair, is that in terms of 16:1, any member of the public has a right to complain about an article or about any content in any magazine except for newspapers, NASA people. Because the rationale is that those people are self-regulated.
Mm-hmm.
There's some mechanism in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of 16:2, we are basically saying they are not required to submit for what we call pre-classification. They are not required to submit. All people that belong to print media are not required to submit before they publish. But in terms of 16:1, there's a mechanism in place that says if anybody else complains, then we have to deal with it.
Advocate Quetta, you are still on the same point.
At the moment, will remain quiet, Chair. I just follow the position, Chair.
Okay. Now, that's one that we couldn't agree on because the state law versus business, now we want to step out. I'll propose that we leave that one. We don't agree on it until further research.
Yeah.
Then we continue with more information on other proposals. GM?
Thank you, Chair. I'm trying again to just simplify for myself what 16:2 means. If you were, I'm thinking of magazines like Penthouse, Hustler. I'm sorry, I wouldn't know all of them. I may remember those from my teenage years. No, not that I read them, but, you know, gossip was all over about them. But does it mean that they too will be exempted from pre-classification?
No, dear, they will not be exempted. There's certain, they'll still meet a criteria that says if you have content that is sexually explicit, they have to submit.
And in terms of the membership of print media stuff, Magazine Publishers Association of South Africa, the only one, there's no Hustler, there's no Penthouse, etc. They have FNJM and they have GQ. So those are the magazines that would be excluded from the pre-classification. But they're still subject to classification in terms of Section 16:1. So there's no question that magazines like Hustler, etc. are members of print media South Africa.
Member Mazibuko? Honorable Sitona, on that point, we have just
defer it to the next meeting for further research. So, but we are continuing to get more information.
What happens if Hustler, as soon as we pass this clause, immediately joins Print Media South Africa? Does it mean it would now be exempted from pre-classification?
Spoken the words that I wanted to say, because I was sure that you was making a follow up on that. So, Chairperson, we have a proposal, like you quite put it, that let's put a hold on 16 and actually, Chairperson, get, if possible, all these regulations, those that are being regulated by NASA, you know, word for word, what it is that is in place, those that belong to print media, those that belong. So that then we talk based on something that we see is written in English. We can verify that it exists. Because here I think we rely on people that are employed by the state and parliament to do the work. But we don't want to find ourselves being misled like the portfolio committee. It has been discovered that they were misled at some stage. So if we can get Chairperson in writing, even if it means 15 pages or 50 pages of each regulation, so that then we go through it regulation by regulation, we're sure that this is what regulates print media, this is what regulates magazines, this is what. Then we can be able to talk on something that we are sure of, Chairperson. So for now, I think the proposal that we hold on 16, let's hold it like that. Let's move on to these other topics that seem not to be contagious. So that there's been a problem, Chairperson. That was the proposal.
Thank you. In addition to that, I think as a committee we need those regulations by Friday so that members could go through them during their recess. Because when we come back, we'll be dealing direct on this bill. So if it can be supplied by those regulations. Dear?
Chair, even as we pass on, I just want to emphasize the point that the issue of contention here with regard to 16.1 and 2 is newspapers, not magazines. We could not exempt magazines from pre-end classification. The issue in contention is newspapers. I think the clause that we need to find. You see, if you separated 16.1 and 16.2, it's okay. But in both 16.1 and 16.2, magazines must not, under any circumstances, be exempted from pre-classification so that they don't catch us by surprise. You know, a magazine stays there on the shelves for a month. You're sitting there with a dilemma, you look like a monkey, you don't know why did you allow them to publish this thing for such a long time. I think what we need to find is a clause that deals with newspapers only. Because they were complaining. They are the ones who complained about the turnaround time and about the what they call freedom of expression, even as we said ourselves that it was limited. So that's what I think we need to try and do. But if we just grant a blanket amnesty, exemption, it's going to create a problem for us that we won't be able to deal with at a later stage. Thanks.
Do you agree?
Okay.
May you proceed,
Mikesh? Okay. Can we agree that whoever is going to be our advice, when we craft this, you know, some proposal or something like that, then it must be categorically clear. And whatever exemption that is there should exempt this magazine. Let them craft and come up with something that excludes the magazines in terms of exemption. If 16.2 does include magazines, let them find a way that will actually exempt the magazines from this whole question of exemption. That would be my proposal.
Agreed.
I agree with our proposal, but I don't want us to come back to this meeting and still be found wanting. I'm not sure, I can't see a research of this committee yet, because I thought our instructions should be very specific, precise, and somebody must be held accountable. As for now, we don't know who we are saying must go and do this thing. And I think it's not the terms of reference or some of job description of some of the people here to do that. I don't see our research. So that chairperson, we have certainty. I don't want us to be bogged down by going through regulation of 100 pages. Maybe good, you know, as a wish. And at the same time, how it is crafted is very technical and legal. We are not able to interpret. I think we need some kind of a summary, you know, much as we get that thing, an analysis, you know, that bring us closer to certainty in terms of what we envisage to achieve with this clause. So in specific terms, I'll say that we must sanction the researcher in collaboration with parliamentary legal advisors and your office man, CEO, and the central advisors, of course, to actually go and work on this thing, to establish certainty, you know, because it will be a sad day if we say we are going to exempt this and not that, yet we don't know who we are exempting, you know. We don't know what is NASA. I mean, this has been my question from the beginning. What is this print media of South Africa? What does it entail and what does it exclude? And those kind of things. And how do you deal with the question of possibility of somebody taking an advantage? You pass the bill, you have excluded, you know, print media of South Africa, for instance. And tomorrow this person come and join. I did raise these questions, but in a different context in the last meeting, you know, to say how do we deal with those loopholes? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. We agree on those advisors, our parliamentary legal advisor, CEO's advisor, our researchers from the department, and the board and the department. Mukesh, can you go to the next item, please?
Okay, the next item is proposed section 16.2.
Yeah, didn't you say 16, all of it were patent? Yeah, we're taking the 16 one and 2 for further research, for more work to be done there.
Unless it's something that has got nothing to do with regulation or anything, but it's like wedding, chapter.
Yeah, it's something else.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, it's something else. It's got to do with the words visual presentations, descriptions, or representations of or amounting to. Now, section 16.2a to d lists sexual conduct, propaganda for war, etc. Now, the words visual presentations, descriptions, or representations of or amounting to include not only prohibiting such a publication that would advocate propaganda for war, etc., but would also, in terms of the current wording, exclude reporting on such a matter. So therefore, we agree that we could tighten up the wording to read that on page 9 of the book. So section 16.2 would read, any person except, whether we're going to go with Nazi, etc., who for distribution or exhibition in the Republic creates, produces, publishes, or advertises any publication that contains explicit sexual conduct, I'm going to just skip sexual conduct. No, it needs further explanation. So it would say that contains any publication that advocates propaganda for war, incites imminent violence, or advocates hatred. So it's just a tightening up of the words and the removal of the words contains visual presentations, descriptions, or representations of or amounting to. Because that those current words actually prohibit reporting on propaganda for war, etc., etc. Can we just deal with that issue first, Chair?
Thank you, Honourable Member. Do you agree? Comment?
Yeah, I think I agree, but where do you put that sexual conduct? You know, because I agree that you can, something is related to a species of sexual conduct or not. You cannot say something that amounts to sexual conduct, but just now, now you have to put it, but where do you put it? Yes.
Thanks, Chief. I deal with further down, saying that sexual conduct is also a very broad and open-ended term. And currently, sexual conduct includes a whole host of legitimate publications like AIDS awareness publications, etc., etc. So the department has, and we agreed with, together with the CEO and the department, that we could amend sexual conduct to explicit sexual conduct which violates or shows disrespect for the right to human dignity of any person, degrades a person, or which constitutes incitement to cause harm. That is a far more explicit definition of what was meant, and that was actually what was intended. It's just that the drafting wasn't precise on that, because currently it would include any kind of reporting on a rape, it would include any sexual education pamphlet or poster, as well as scholarly articles on sexual dysfunction, etc.
Any other comments from members? State law advisor?
No comment, Chair.
Another state law advisor? That's a title.
Okay, with regard to this suggestion, we had made a proposal of a redrafting in page 8 of our opinion. And I think in order to, if the members are happy to restrict the sexual conduct, we can add explicit, let's say, go to the last paragraph, paragraph 2.3 of the opinion, and have a look at the recommended amendment there. This one that is dated 18th of March from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. Because the Council raised an argument that the use of some words is appropriate in some of the prohibited acts or conduct, but to some it's not. For example, with regard to sexual conduct, you can't say something amounts to it. It's either it's sexual conduct or it's not. And taking into account that that comment, we prepared a recommendation of the amendment where we say those things that amount to must only apply to propaganda for war, incitement of imminent violence, and advocacy of hatred, blah, blah, blah. So with this recommendation that we have made, in order for it to be as strict as my learned colleague has suggested, we can perhaps, and in paragraph 2A of the recommendation, we can say that amounts to explicit sexual conduct, and then let me read it. I'm sure it's gonna make sense if I read it. It says, this is the recommendation we proposed. Subsection 2 to read as follows. Any person, comma, except publisher of newspaper contemplated in subsection 1. That one we are leaving it because we still have to do some research on that as to who is going to be exempted. Okay. Who, for distribution or exhibition in the Republic, creates, comma, produces, publishes or advertises any publication that contains visual presentations or descriptions or representations, A, of sexual conduct. And then in B we say, those visuals, representations, descriptions, or representations amounting or of or amounting to, and then we list them in Roman figures. So we can add to A there, of explicit sexual conduct. We can add the word explicit in our recommended A. Let me complete. Okay. This the way we have crafted this recommendation is to ensure that it complies with the drafting requirement. Because I hear what he's suggesting amounts to the same thing that I'm saying, but it accords with the standard better if it's crafted this way. To what he has suggested, we just add in this A, between the words of sexual conduct, we add the of explicit sexual conduct.
Thank you very much. You are intimidating the speaker if you raise hands while he's speaking, because I've noted you already. Unless he was out of order, you want to say he's out of order. Let's give them a chance. Advocate Mukesh, that will follow. Our research is here now. There's a mandate that you must do it. We'll tell you after the meeting. But just continue to take notes. Advocate
Mukesh. Okay, the department suggested a different version of sexual conduct, because explicit sexual conduct means any description of any conduct characteristically associated with sexual intercourse, which remains just as broad. So it was like the pornography aspects that were aimed at, but the definition, even explicit sexual conduct, is not precise enough to identify the harm. It is still very broad and open-ended. Because if you look at in clause 1G, explicit sexual conduct means, for the purposes of section 16 and 18, graphic and detailed visual presentations or descriptions of any conduct characteristically associated with sexual intercourse. So those issues of putting a condom on a penis, etc., is still going to be captured by the section. That's why the definition of sexual conduct as which violates or shows disrespect for the right to human dignity of any person, degrades a person, which constitutes incitement to harm. That's why that definition is more precise than explicit sexual conduct.
That's
it.
Actually, I wanted to find out as to what was proposed by the legal advisors proposed by the parliamentary advisors, if there's any fundamental difference between the two, so that we don't sit here and try to look at formulations and the like. So that if the content is the same, we can leave it to them to formulate, you know, in the most in appropriate manner, the way in which they think that it captures that which we are agreeing upon. As a committee, I think we are agreeing that this needs tightening up. We are agreeing on that. And as to how it is going to be done, let them finalize themselves. We agree on the principle. We'll have a look at that product that specialist agrees on, and they'll be put it to us in the next time. Plus, not for ourselves, whether we put an is there or a where, or you know, that would be. So that would be my proposal.
Thank you.
Do
you both agree? Yes, we agree. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I'm going to skip the whole of section 16.2 because that hasn't been finalized yet. So the next is on page 4 of my document. The use of unclear description in proposed 16.4b. Now, it's been pointed out that certain clauses in 16.4b are so broad that they don't make any sense.
Page 4.
Now, the relevant phrases are an act which is degrading of human beings, as contained in proposed section 16.4b(2), as well as conduct or an act which constitutes incitement of, encourages, or promotes harmful behavior, as contained in proposed clause 16.4b(3). Now, unless the state law advisor can clarify what is meant by an act which is degrading of human beings, or one which encourages or promotes harmful behavior, because that is so broad and open-ended. An act degrading of a human being is, Jay, if you tell me to go and stand in the corner and face the corner, that is an act which is degrading. So it's not meant, it's not understood what is meant. Either the Films and Publications Board or the department can clarify what it is that is meant there. The second issue is an act of conduct which constitutes incitement of, encourages, or promotes harmful behavior. Now, this would include smoking, drinking, skateboarding, etc., etc. So if they can clarify what is meant there, because we can't figure out what was meant by this
before you could clarify us, what was your proposal on this?
The proposal is that if the department or the state law advisors can't explain what is meant by these clauses, that they be deleted.
State law advisor, Mr. Mekwa and Tyson.
Chair, we don't want to repeat what we said in our opinion, Chair, regarding the phrases, degrading of human beings and also promoting harmful behavior, Chair. Because I want to enter into a debate, Chair. But we did say that they've been stated to be broad, Chair, so that they can capture the whole purpose of the bill, Chair, if other provisions of the bill have not actually captured everything that is intended, Chair. So we did say, Chair, and we also quoted from case law, Chair, that sometimes, Chair, you don't have to be specific, Chair. But if you want to be specific, you may end up excluding other areas or other issues, Chair, you want to encompass. So, Chair, as you stated, Chair, we still feel that those phrases that are there, Chair, they don't amount to excluding any other purpose of the appeal, Chair. A conduct may be degrading, Chair, to human being, Chair. If you maybe expose yourself, you're degrading another human being, Chair. Chair, harmful behavior, promoting harmful behavior, Chair, could be, maybe if you give a minor, Chair, you expose a minor to pornography, maybe you're promoting harmful behavior in respect of that minor and encouraging him or her to behave in a particular way, Chair. So for those who don't know, can be captured in this phrase, Chair. Thank you.
Any addition from Mr. Peters? That's all you are noted.
Mr. Peters, do you want to make some addition?
No, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Tolo, followed by Chair,
I think I have a problem if the state law advisors would advise us to pass a piece of legislation which has got many interpretations. I really have a problem with that. As far as I know, I mean, I'm not a real person, but as far as I know, a law must be in such a way that it's clear and understandable to almost everyone. It must not be subjective. This interpretation must not be subjective. If you are saying that you are leaving these places as they are because you want it to be as broad as possible, and open it up to as many interpretations as possible, I have a problem with that. Honestly speaking, I don't know how to pass that type of thing. And I really think that these ways then need to be defined. They need to be defined such a way that they cover everything. But if you don't think about fraud, and anybody can, in fact, we have lots and lots of litigation coming up in our way, which will actually face some of them, will pass out of them, face in court, because of the wrong interpretation of our people which are attached to it. That's not going to be wrong, but the right, because you have just left it broad. I mean, I have a problem, Chair, and I really need to be helped. Whether we want to pass a law which is vague, do you want to pass a law that is vague? I don't think that is our intention. Thank you.
Chairperson, just clarity seeking. Harmful behavior. He just made one example. What would be other examples? Because I'm not sure whether you give a child pornographic material, that behavior, you know. I'm not sure about that. That's the first question. If you could make some examples. Two, are some of these issues not contained, or are they omitted in the Children's Act that was passed last year? There have been some cross-referencing and double-checking so that we don't duplicate some of the provisions which are already in the existing statute, you know, which deals with the welfare and protection of children. That would be my second question. Thank you.
Thank you, Delphio. Ma'am, I think it's important.
It's not Monday, it's Tuesday. I see the CEO also still some money.
Chairperson, I think it's important for us to contextualize, and I'll keep referring to other clauses in the law. I think I would agree with the state law advisors, because in every situation during classification they have to contextualize, and it is the regular context we work within. And therefore, it becomes difficult for you to define. It becomes difficult to define what would be bad behavior without necessarily having the context. And I think for that reason, I would really agree with the legal advisors, unless we want to perhaps prescribe in the regulations. That's a commitment we can make, to prescribe perhaps in the regulations and say what would we consider to be bad behavior. But I'm really scared of a situation where we tighten ourselves in a corner such that if something that is we find classifiable elements in the material that we find ourselves having excluded because we were too specific as well.
So what do you say, members? Do we need more research on those issues? Honorable Setona, followed by DM.
I'll be more amenable to the root of the regulations. Because the lawyers are teaching us that when you make a law, that law, whoever is expected not to violate that law must know exactly what it is that is not violating. You teach us every day when you advise us that you must know. Right? And you must know what is this in the context of this bill, you know. There are some insertions in this bill that clearly says pornographic material, whatever. That is simple and straightforward. Any person, layman, can understand that thing. When I do this thing, but now if there's this broad provision that talks this, I'm a bit reserved about it. I'm a bit cautious about it. From the old teachings that we get from lawyers. But if you are saying that we can actually tighten that up in your regulations, I'll be more amenable, Chairperson, that we live with it.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jim.
Thanks, Chair. The bill we are dealing with, Chairperson, deals with classification of the things that I explained here. It's got nothing to do with the construction of houses. the construction of a road and so on. So my assumption is that harmful conduct would be contextualized in terms of the issues that this legislation is dealing with. If you were dealing with the construction of a house, you would say that harmful conduct would imply bringing a child to a construction site without a helmet. But that's not what this bill is dealing with. I think it can be contextualized in relation to the issues that this bill is dealing with. So my view would be that it would be mischievous to try for anyone to try and pull the context of what is referred to in this clause as harmful conduct, harmful behavior, to anything other than what this bill is intended to address. If you say, Chair, let me not say, if you took, no, I think I must not use this example. But I'm trying to say, Chair, that it is. There are many examples you can use here to demonstrate. If we had sex in front of a minor, what are we doing? It will amount to I will issue a statement, Chair, and not only retract but apologize to the nation even for thinking about it. But it would amount to harmful behavior. So I'm saying that we need to think of these clauses in relation to the context which applies to this piece of legislation we are dealing with here. And I think if we did that, we would be helping ourselves, so that we don't allow ourselves to steer too far away from what we are trying to deal with. The second point, Chair, that I would want to make is that it seems to me that there are different instances where the courts themselves have ruled that a degree of vagueness is not bad. They are quoted here. I'm really tempted to agree with that. Let us allow that room so that, as the Constitutional Court said in its Affordable Medicine Trust versus Minister of Health, where it says that laws that are framed in general terms may be better suited to the achievement of their objectives, because a very detailed enactment may not provide the required flexibility and might furthermore obscure its purposes behind a veil of detailed provisions. I really would say, Chair, in this case, I don't think there is a matter that is so fundamental that we must rule that this vagueness creates a problem. To me, it does not, because it is contextualized within the objects of the law. It has nothing to do with the construction of houses. It's not about, it's got nothing to do with thunderstorms. It's got nothing to do with the culling of elephants. It's got to do with explicit sexual conduct and violence. So you can contextualize it within those objects. Thanks, Chair.
I think the PM has tried to clarify on. Do you agree, members? Do you agree? Dr. Tono?
I think we agree. We agree. We have expressed our reservations, and I personally said if it will be covered further in the regulation, I'll not have a problem with it. Because we may also be tempted to go into much too detail, which I think is the duty as well of the judicial officers. They do case law. I mean, their pronouncement becomes law in themselves when they interpret the law and make their own pronouncements on it. So I think I want to persuade members that we agree with it.
Honorable Lamola, come back home.
I'm very wise, thank you. I'm very wise, and I am quite confused. I have missed the session on Tuesday. I don't know. I only received 4 messages this morning. But I am worried that vagueness, as I just told Mr. Tolisso, can vagueness be challenged in a court of law, especially the Constitutional Court? If I can get an answer on that, I'll be very nice.
Thank you, Honorable Tekani. You want to say something else?
Okay. Yeah, Chairperson, with respect, I think I respect the integrity of the honorable member here that she hasn't been part of our previous session. And maybe at some point we'll take her on board on some of the issues which I think would really reach consensus after robust, open debate and discussion. I'm not sure, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not sure whether when you make a vague law, is it unconstitutional, I'm not sure about that thing. Maybe illegal people can talk about that thing. Nothing unconstitutional. Something unconstitutional is the one that infringes on the Constitution. But it's vague. I mean, it's something else. It has got nothing to do with constitutionality or unconstitutionality. I'm not sure about that thing, but something maybe that we may...
Maybe the Constitutional Court is the one who say this is unconstitutional. Any comments from our state law advisor?
No, sir, just to say that the Honorable Deputy Minister stated the opposition clearly, Chair. And as we stated earlier, Chair, regarding the issue of case, even the Constitutional Court, Chair, pronounced upon this particular issue. You don't have to deal with the decision in isolation, Chair. Look at the broad picture, the purpose of the decision, the intention of the what is intended to be achieved, Chair. Thanks.
Honorable Solis, I forgot to tender your late arrival into the committee from programming meeting. Without his programming, we won't be having what to do. So thank you for coming.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, Chairperson, I think harmful behavior, as the Deputy Minister has explained, for the purposes of this piece of legislation, I think we must certainly just leave it as it stands. I don't see any vagueness in this particular clause here. But if you read it in the context of the bill itself, then it's very clear what harmful behavior means. One can just imagine, and I don't want to give an example here. But I think let's leave it like that. Thank you, Chair.
Advocate Mukesh, members have agreed. You want to comment on the same matter? Okay?
There was a question if something can be unconstitutional due to its vagueness. And the answer is yes, Chair. There are several judgments. I can quote them now. It says that you don't need such a tight definition, but there must be reasonable certainty as to what the law is saying. That's all that I want to say, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we move to the next point? And you'll advise of the conclusion of the proposal.
Yes. It was also agreed, I think, the state advisors also pointed this out. I need to be, I just need to confirm this, but the department pointed out as well that 16.4b4, refers to domestic violence. But because domestic violence is not defined in terms of of the Act, you need to make reference to the Domestic Violence Act, which defines domestic violence to include topics such as subjects such as stalking, damage to property, or other controlling or abusive behavior. So there's a need to define domestic violence in the Act.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me give members first if they want to comment. Honorable members? None?
Yes, no,
no, I don't have any comments. Chairperson, I don't have any comment at this stage, and we just have to be critical when we think as to how are we going to define it. And I haven't come up with an appropriate or a definition on my head at this stage. But I think everyone should have that in mind and think of the objectives of the Act, and we need to define it to be compliant or consistent with what the purpose of the Act is.
Thank you. Here I see there's no any referral to the Act. They just say domestic violence must be inserted in the bill. Quetta, you want to comment? Advocate Quetta?
So the formulation here is that a more appropriate definition of domestic violence must be formulated and set into the bill, Chair. Well, we're not familiar by us, but Chair, we do agree with our learned colleague here, that we have to have a definition, Chair, of domestic violence. And well, we can come up with a definition, Chair, and look into it, present it to the committee.
Okay. So we agree that we need a definition. Let me give the department. CEO, do you have things in mind in terms of definition of a domestic violence? Ma'am?
Can you say something?
Blue Monday. Honorable Stoner?
I thought you agree on the process because it should be very carefully crafted, you know, definition that takes into account the context and the intent and purpose of the bill, you know. not even joint resource could rise up and, you know, formulate it now and we agree. We could still, you know. So I think we must really say there's an agreement that there should be definition, yeah? And it will come in our next meeting.
And maybe also to check whether it links with the Domestic Violence Act, which is already in place.
Chair, also, that definition, I think, even before it comes to this meeting, it must be a definition that at least has found consensus. I don't want to come here and the state advisor will ever say this is a definition. Somebody then comes and punches holes into it. So I think you can discuss there and say, but when it comes here, it must be a consensus definition.
Agree. Thank you. DM, do you agree? Is the end of the proposal?
No, Chair, there's two more.
Okay.
Chair, just noted that in terms of 16.4 B and C, that the word after merit has been omitted in just 16.4 B and C. Yes, Chair. On page 10.
Line
33 and line 42.
Can we read up to
this? So in terms of 16.4 B, it should read, unless judged within the context, the publication is, with exception to respect to child pornography, a bona fide documentary, or is a publication of scientific, literary, or artistic merit, and yet should be all is a matter of public interest, in which event the publication shall be classified as XAD. So it's just a matter, it's contained in A, but not, it's contained in A, and but it's not contained in B and C too.
Do you agree on that? Take your advice for you, sir.
Yes, Chair, I tend to concur with my colleague, Chair, that we could bring it in from a chair to read properly so that we can believe with the other provisions.
And we have to rectify that. Thank you, Zilma. Do you agree, members?
Agree. Thanks, Chair. Now, this wasn't discussed at the meeting with the CEO and herself, but it was a matter raised by the state law advisors in the opinion. And I discussed with the departmental legal advisor, and they agreed that it's with regards to the partial exemption of broadcasters. The state law advisors pointed out that in the proposed section 23.3, it exempts broadcasters subject to regulation by CASA from the provisions of the new section 18.1. And but it contains the word subject to section 20.
Okay.
On page 5 of my document,
okay.
Yeah. Paragraph 16.
Mm.
But the word subject to section 24.8, 2 and 3, as they appear in that section, make the exemption of broadcasters partial. The state law advisors pointed out that to ensure consistency with the Constitution and to guard against encroachment by the Films and Publications Board of the mandate of ICASA to regulate broadcasting, it suggested that the word subject to section 24.8, 2 and 3 as they appear be removed from the subsection. And they pointed out that they would ensure that the bill does not infringe section 192 of the Constitution. Now, ourselves and the department agree with that the Films and Public, this act cannot regulate broadcasting anyway. And the state law advisors also point out that to avoid any inconsistency and uncertainty, they recommend that the new section 23.3 be removed from clause 27 and placed under clause 21 as a new subsection 6. And this is specified by the fact that the subject matter in the new section 23.3 is different from that clause 27. And we support that proposal, Chair.
Any other more input on this point? Is it not better?
No, not sure. Thank you.
Departmental legal advisor?
None, thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, you want to agree?
Okay.
I think that was the last proposal. I think we agree that we have another meeting after the research work has been done for those who have deferred. And we request the department by Friday to at least bring us those regulations in terms of the shortening them and also our proposal. Before I adjourn the meeting, I just want to inform the members of the Select Committee on Social Services, because they are the same members of the Education and Recreation. There are public hearings held at the Finance, with the Select Committee on Finance. And this committee was invited because they've invited all the 9 provincial NECs and HODs. If you are interested, just to go and live in your provinces, because they'll be presenting. It was just an open invitation, members of the group. If you are not interested, then it's okay. Those who want to go, then they can go. I'm still on the platform. I'll give you a platform. I've been listening to you. How do I come out? And secondly,
I'll request the state law advisor, our legal, our parliamentary advisor, the department advisor, and our researcher to remain behind so that we agree on those proposals and agreements. Meeting stand adjourned. Thank you very much. Oh.
Sorry, Chair. What we have agreed on yesterday, I think, I don't know who's going to take the responsibility to come up with the draft proposed amendment, but somebody must be given that responsibility. So that when we get here again, that we have that document before us, so that we can speed up the process.
Thank you. That's why I was requesting those stakeholders to remain behind with me. State law advisors, our parliamentary legal advisor, the department legal team, and our research. Myself and Arico will remain behind. But maybe it's important as the whip of the committee to be part of us. Honorable DM.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think we need to put it on record, because I think the issue was reported wrongfully on Wednesday last week that we had blasted the senior counsel, Advocate Jami. And you know, criticizing an opinion doesn't amount to the same thing as blasting. I think it would be appropriate to move, Chair, with your permission, that the committee must express its gratitude to the senior counsel for his opinion, because we needed to get that opinion to assist us in taking a balanced view of this piece of legislation. We are grateful for that work. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Can you hang on for lunch?
In the morning, very well.
I think the lunch will be.
Does anything member still attending? I think
we're done. You are all invited for lunch at Mark's building at about 12:30. To be ready. Thank you very much. Mrs. Senator.
Dr. Solomon, where is the dean of the
faculty?